Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Perek Zayin, the 7th chapter of Sefer Yechezkel. And this is a shocking Perek in many ways. The reason that is most shocking is this is the first time that Yechezkel actually prophesizes the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Remember, at this point in time, many people are in exile in Bavel already from the first wave of Godless under Yehoyachin. But at this point, the destruction has not happened. So they're still in Bavel, waiting and looking in, hearing and waiting for news from Israel, and the Beis HaMikdash is still standing. Here, Yechezkel unequivocally and explicitly talks about destruction, which is really, really a scary idea. If you look through this perek, it is unusually poetic. So we're going to see lots of alliterations and word plays as we go through this perek. We're going to hear, Kates bo'a Kates Kitze Laich. The end is coming. The end is waking up, and Kates and Kits, relates to each other. Ends and waking ups and Hatzifirah Tzatz. And Upolta played to him, and Takuba Tako. We're going to hear lots of interesting word plays. It's very beautiful at the same time, very disturbing as we read this section of Tanakh. So let's start. The first little section runs for four psukim, from Aleph to Dalet, in which we learn about how Yechezkel turns to the Admas Yisrael. Up till now he prophesies towards the hills where the Avodah Zorah was served. Now he turns to the land of Israel and he says, the Kates is coming. The end is nigh. Boa Kates, Arboa Kanfois Oretz, Al Arboa Kanfois Oretz, the end is coming from all four directions. It's going to come to you. I'm going to send it to you. It's going to sweep you away. And all your discretions, I'm not going to in any way have any mercy on you. So before we go further into the next image, just the Malbim points out that the imagery that's being created over here is, it sounds like Israel's on one horizon and evil's at the far end of the horizon, and there's a convergence here, so the evil sweeping across the earth, hitting Israel last. Which in that direction of events ultimately means that there are some times where bad things happen in the world and Israel's left to see them, to take note and perhaps change, and if they don't change in time, the wave reaches them too. That's the imagery that we're dealing with over here, which is why he's talking about how it is coming on the four corners of the earth, meaning to say if you just look around the destruction that Bavel is doing, if you just notice, you may have stopped that tide from hitting you. Rashi says that the case is just more practical than that. The Malbim is talking about sort of the case as this horizon, this distance. Whereas Rashi says, no, the case is simply a numerical thing. In the end of the Torah, the very, very end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'noshantem ba'aretz, in Devarim Perek Dalet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you will grow old in the land, and then Ahaydoisi bochem avoid Taivodun. You're going to be destroyed. Now, the gematria of the word vin noshantem is actually taf taf nun beis, says Rashi, which is 852. Let's do the math. Before the Beis HaMikdash was built was 440 years from the time they entered into the land of Israel. That's an explicit pasuk, 480 from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, minus 40 of the desert is 440. And now the 410 for the Beis HaMikdash standing up till now, which means they're now up to 850 years. So the Kates, the end of what Venoshantim, of growing old in the land, is going to be, the 852 is just a mere 2 years away. You're watching, you're witnessing the end of Hashem's patience, that is already being embedded, so to speak, in that word. Ironically speaking, obviously Bnei Yisrael had the Bechira, the choice to avert that. But when they did not, then this idea, this code revealed itself, so to speak, to know that the end was coming through this means. Why does Hashem not have mercy? So the Malbim points out that, as the Malbim does very specifically, that he says he's not going to give Israel two things. One is chusa and lo sachos eni v'lo echmol. These are two different descriptions of not giving mercy. The Malbim explains that to be mechas on something means to say to find utility in it. And to be chomel on something means to say that you see an innate goodness in it. Hashem says he sees neither. He doesn't see utility in us, and he doesn't see goodness in us. That's why the destruction is happening. What a very depressing statement. Then the actual destruction, a prophecy of destruction. The Malbim points out that in these next few psukim, which are the prime part of this perek, which runs from Pasuk Hey to Chof Beis, if you read it, it actually is a sequential cycle. So the destruction is described here in the actual stages that it is about to happen. He just once again he talks about the Kates bo ha Kates ha Kits Eli Eliach. The end is waking up, and that's a play on words of waking up and Kates, which is the same word. Bo ha Tzefira Elecha. The Tzefira is coming to you. What does the word Tzefira mean? Which is a central word, keeps coming up again. This idea of Tzefira, the Radak says, is like the morning. Tzafra in Aramaic means morning. Tzafra de Maritav. And what it means to say is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to intervene in this world. He's going to wake up a new day, which is going to be a nightmare, which is beyond the natural realm. Meaning to say, it's not going to just be that bad is allowed to happen. Bad will be made to happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we saw, is going to turn his face towards Yerushalayim to create havoc. And this, of course, relates to the words of HaKitz, waking up. The morning is ironically over here looking like a nightmare of a day, which is awakening. Now, Baba Nel says it doesn't mean, Tzefira does not mean waking up or the morning. It means a language of a circle, which means to say that there's a full circle of fortune which is turning here. You, B'nai Yisrael, had the schus of entering the land of Canaan when the Canaanites sinned sufficiently to get themselves kicked off the land. Well, Bohat Tzefira, the circle has turned now. You're now on the other side of the table. You've been acting like them long enough that now it's your turn to be kicked off the land, because it's not necessarily about who you are, but how you act, which is what the Abba Rabbanel suggests over here. And then he goes on for various descriptions throughout this process of the destruction. HaKadosh Baruch Hu again is not going to have mercy, and the Tzefira is going to be coming. There's a lot of repetition about this particular point. And he gives various idioms. HaKone al yismach v'hamocher al yisabal. The buyer will no longer be happy, and the seller will no longer be sad. Ki charon es kol hamona, because Hashem is going to be angry on all the population. If you think about that, usually, as Meforshim point out, the person who buys real estate is making an investment and feels happy. The person who's forced to sell is not usually happy if they're forced to sell. But in this case, people, because in this case, the buyer is not going to have longevity on the land. The destruction is coming. They're not going to be happy over here. That's the description which is being described over here. Then we look through the sequence. It's Takoa, but Takoa, there's going to be this blowing of the horn, which is a description of the blowing of the horn as the battle's fought from the siege. And then Acherev Bachutz, the swords on the outside, Vadever of Arabi Biasness. There's this famine inside. This is a description of the siege, which is actually unfolding right now in Yerushalayim. Upol to Pleitehem, their refugees are going to be expelled. This is referring to those who tried to escape, including Tzidkiyahu HaMelech. They're going to try to escape. It's not going to be that. But in the end of the day, they're going to throw out all their money towards the looters, the pillagers, and it's not going to help. It's not going to save them on this day, because their sin is there. And at such time, and here's the pasuk, which is the most terrifying of all. I'm going to allow the bad people in. I'm going to turn my face from them. And they're going to desecrate my hiddenmost. Which means to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is removing his Shechina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is removing himself, allowing this to become simply a building. And therefore, if it's simply a building, evil people can access it. Up till now, the Shechina was there. But at the very end of the siege, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, my face is being removed. My presence is being removed. Kiddusha Rishona, loy Kiddusha La'asid Lavi. The first Kiddusha was removed from the land of Israel. It's only the second Kiddusha, which has halachic implications today. very terrifying thing. This is where Yechezkel is explicitly talking about the destruction. And finally, the last part of the perek is a dramatically ironic piece where from Chof Gimel to the very end on Chof Zion talks about how at this point in time, Asei Hartok, Maharatok, the chains are going to be pulled out and everybody's going to be pulled out of the city in chains to Golos. But Mala Mishpat Domim Va'ir Mala Hamas. The city is full of murder. The city is full of burglary. In other words, the city really deserves what it's getting. There's no good people really left in the city in the first place. What a sad, sad state of affairs. And in fact, the bad's going to keep coming. It's not going to stop now. You're going to look for peace. There won't be even a break between bad things. It'll be like one thing after the next, one presence after the next. It's not going to be, there'll be concurrentism even, because it'll be unnaturally bad. And then, after all is said and done, Yechezkel says, "Ubikshu chazon minavi." Then you're going to look to the prophets and you're going to say, "Prophets, what should we do?" And the dramatic irony over here is the prophets have been telling them what to do for centuries, and they haven't been listening. That's the saddest part here. Now they turn to the Navi. V'torah tovad b'kohen v'eitzam izakenim. No one will have anything to say. Hamelech yisabal v'nasi yilbash shemama. The king will be in mourning. The nasi, the leader, will be wearing shemama, distraction. Everything will be in confusion. Then you'll know ki ani Hashem. That's how the part of the parak ends. The Barbanel points out that if you look at these terms of leadership, one is melech and one is nasi. Melech means a king. Nasi literally means a president or a leader of the generation. It could mean, as the Radak says, the same person, but it could also mean it's referring to two distractions. Now, Barbanel introduces the notion that Yechezkel is not simply talking about the destruction of the first base of Migdash. He's compounding into this description also when there won't be a king, when there will only be a Nasi, which is the destruction of the second base of Migdash. So Yechezkel's term is referring to the future as well, because sometimes as much as history changes, it really doesn't. This over here should be something which sends shivers down the necks of those people living in Bavel to know that destruction is about to happen. But are they listening? Are they able to change anything? Not clear. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.